I'm Johnny Smith.
I'm Richard Porter.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars, and this week, retro vehicles on TV shows.
Sorry, I'm a bit late to this recording.
You are late.
I've been in the midst of a hairstyling disaster.
What?
So it's lockdown. Hairdressers are shut.
Yes.
It's a weird thing, actually. When did we go to Goodwood? It was, what, three or four weeks ago?
Three or four, could be a month ago, yeah.
Yeah, so the week before that, I went for a proper haircut. Because
okay.
I thought we were going to be on camera, need to look smart. So I had a proper haircut with a week's leeway in case it didn't turn out quite right, that it could sort of, you know, settle in.
Right.
That was fine. Within a week after Goodwood, so sort of, you know, T minus 2 weeks from haircut day, my hair was suddenly really long, relatively.
Oh, did you
it
take
just
some?
Kept growing.
Did you take some naughty supplements?
No.
I'm just asking.
But just this week, a friend of ours has not been drinking for 6 weeks. And you know that I've basically been off the booze.
Yeah.
And this friend of ours said, oh, I'll tell you what, yeah, not drinking, it's great. Yeah, I feel I've got more energy and all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he went, also, my hair's got thicker, which apparently is a thing. What?
Oh, so maybe,
when
is that the reason why
boozing?
I've gone bald? I'm not even a big
heavy
drinker.
Drinking.
I'm not a big drinker. I haven't even got that to sit back on.
Well, I don't know. And I've been meaning to look into this because he could have been talking shit, obviously. But he says, no, it's a fact that when you stop drinking, particularly if you were partial to a drop of booze, that your hair gets thicker. And I thought, well, maybe that's what happened to me, that it wasn't getting long per se, it just sort of got thicker. And that's why I seem to have a lot of hair really quickly after having a haircut. But it being lockdown, no hairdressers open, and
no.
It was getting quite out of hand. So I thought, screw it, I'll go back to my lockdown one strategy. I'll run the clippers over it on the long setting. So it's really a trim. It's not like it's not a buzz cut.
Right.
It just keeps things, it's just sort of, you know, a kind of...
Keeping on top of things.
Yeah, just keeping on top of things. So I did that, and it was basically fine, but I sort of felt the sides needed a bit more work.
Right.
And this is where it all started to unravel. And you know that episode of Father Ted where he gets given a car to raffle for the church charity and tries to tap a dent out?
Yes.
And then they do a fade to black and they fade back up again. It was a Mark 1 Rover 200.
It was. And wasn't it covered in strange dents?
Yeah, they fade up again, and it basically looks like a golf ball because he's chased. And it's quite relatable because you go, oh, yeah, that kind of thing happens. You chase the one floor around the whole thing until you've ruined the whole car. Or in my case, ruined my whole head because I started trying to trim the sides a bit more and it just all went a bit wrong. And I sort of had a feeling in my bones that it wasn't quite right. But obviously, you can't get a 360 view of your own head. So I just went downstairs.
Not possible.
Nothing was said. And then I could see, and I always know when I've screwed up cutting my own hair, because I have done it before. My wife, her eyes just start flicking up towards bits of my head where my eyes aren't. So I know that she's checking it out. And I'm waiting for her to go, what have you done? Which she did. And I'll sort it out.
My missus would have said that within 5 seconds of walking in the room.
Yeah, she's cunning, my wife. She just waits. She's like a cat. You know how cats can stay for ages in long grass just wiggling a bit before they jump on a mouse?
Yeah,
that's my wife. Hairstyle burns.
Like a funnel web spider. They're feeling the twinges on the edge of the web.
Yeah.
But they know. They know they've got it all in hand. It's the funnel web wife.
It's the sport of it, isn't it? The funnel wife spider. she'll be delighted with that.
Yeah, there's nothing better than calling your wife a funnel.
The world's most deadly spider. Yeah. Anyway, yes. So
yeah, okay, so you've trashed your head.
So basically, I've been chasing the self-haircutting errors around my own head to the point where now this morning I was just like, there's nothing for it. Just going to have to all over on a low setting. So I've gone full suede head now just to try and vanish.
So do you look like me now?
I'm
a bit longer than me.
A little bit longer than you, but not a lot. I've down to a grade four, and if I'm honest, you can still see where I've fucked up one side of my head.
And
to banish that, I would have to three it, possibly even lower. So
you've got two choices now.
Yeah.
Neither of them I've ever done. I'm working on one of them. One of them, you now go crazy with the weights and you build your body up to compensate. So it doesn't matter what's going on in your head anyway. You're ripped. You're good. Secondly,
do you think I've got time to do that before my hair grows back?
I'm thinking before Christmas. 24th of December is your deadline, really. So that
I'm going to need some roids, aren't I, though,
you can
for
be
this
fully,
to actually stick.
You can be fully torn up for Christmas.
what do you want for Christmas, Rich? Do you know what? I'd love to be absolutely and insanely ripped. If
yes.
That's possible.
And can I have three tins of tuna for Christmas lunch, please? Thank you.
Some steamed salmon,
yes,
and broccoli, please.
With
for my
nothing
Christmas
else.
Lunch.
I don't want any garnishes or any embellishment, please.
And then just a absolutely massive, like a litre container with a handle on it, full of some kind of roid-based smoothie.
Yeah, it's yogurty, porridgey, energy slop that you just tip down the gullet, hold your breath and crack on. Oh, the second thing is I'll gift you, I might get you a Magnus Walker hat.
A Magnus Walker hat?
Well, if you think Magnus Walker has always got a hat on, always, even in hot LA summer.
Yeah.
But I could get some dreads woven in. So you could have.
I see what you mean. Like those comedy Scottish hats they sell at the border.
Yeah, so you could get. And you've got a 9/11, so you're okay. You're cool. So you.
Well,
that's
funny, actually, because just before we started recording, I was just looking at myself in the mirror and going, right, okay, well, that'll do. But I may have to let my beard grow a bit longer to sort of even out. And basically, I'm now flipping my own head upside down.
Yes.
The long hair will be on the lower portion and the shorter hair on the top bit, just temporarily, I think. But anyway,
yes.
Yeah, no, so
yes.
that's my 6 or 7 minute excuse for why I was a bit late to
I was going to say, you've used a large amount of our podcast to talk about that.
Just
but
drivelling
luckily,
on about
I'm
my
all right.
own incompetence.
I'm all right with that.
What I actually wanted to talk about this week. First of all, last week we were talking about Robert Plant because we found his. Oh, we'd seen that his old Audi A8 had been for sale.
Correct.
And after that, after we'd finished recording, like pretty much straight away, I went and put some Led Zepp on because I've listened to some Led Zepp for ages.
Of course,
it suddenly occurred to me.
It's brilliant.
Robert Plant has got a very high revving voice.
High revving.
High revving. His voice is in a low gear and nudging the red line a lot.
Okay. I wasn't expecting you to say that, but I know what you mean. High revving voice.
And then the
mind is whirling now.
I was walking the dog and I got some music on shuffle.
Yeah.
And Sweet Child O' Mine came on.
Of course.
And I realised Axl Rose, high revving voice.
Oh, Axl Rose. And he can go super kind of gravelly and muttery, but then
well,
shriek.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even within Sweet Child of Mine, which is probably not the best example of his range, if you like, but even in Sweet Child of Mine, at some points it does feel like he's in fifth and it's just the voice is cruising. And then suddenly, while still at the same speed, he knocks it into second and you're like, oh, my Jesus.
Well, accidentally knocks it into second. Or is it, you know, like completely just smashes the stick across. Or if it's an auto, he'll knock it back twice rather than once and then leave it in hold. So it's sitting there at 6,000 RPM, unable to do anything because you've commanded it. And the auto box is just screaming and sweating. That's a good one. I was thinking, you got my mind racing now. I'm thinking, do you know what? It's coming up for Christmas. Mariah Carey, there's a vocal range. I mean, she's not a rock star, but she's an amazing singer. So
she's definitely quite, yeah.
Carey.
I mean, there's some variable timing and lift in there somewhere, isn't there? Because to get that range of revs within the voice.
Exactly. And reliability.
Sort of silky smooth low down. Yeah, and she's very
reliable.
Smooth at the top end as well.
She's very
reliable, yes.
So she's running on 0.50 weight oil. and she's 100%, and she's VTEC, as you said. She's got to be. She's when the Mariah Carey VTEC kicks in, yo, what would it be, the vocal VTEC? It's vocal VTEC. That's exactly what it is.
But it's definitely, I think you're right, it's VTEC. It's not like the Toyota VVTi, was it, type thing. Where
VVTi, yeah.
The switchover seemed to happen about 500 revs before the red line, so it wasn't very usable. Carey, she can sit up there on the hotter lobes for ages.
Yes,
so
she's
a sort of later Honda VTEC system.
She's controlling the breathing. Oh, she's Type R. She's or Type M or whatever you call herself.
Type C. Whereas Carey spec.
Yeah, whereas you've got like I'm trying to think, female vocalist Sia.
Mm.
With the sort of, we don't quite know what her face looks like, or maybe we do. I can't remember anymore.
I do because I went to a gig years ago, basically above a pub in Camden, and she was the vocalist with, I can't remember who was the actual band were.
What
was it, 07 or something? I can't remember.
You were at a pub with Sia.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And she was but this was before she decided she didn't want anyone to see her face, so she was just on stage.
See her face. I can see what you did.
Yeah. Is that why she's called that? Because you can't see her.
You should see her face.
I saw someone on Twitter last week noting that somebody has gone through dozens, like actually dozens of Brian Eno music videos on YouTube and just commented on each one, and that dozens of them, he knows what he's doing. And you just, it's almost like an art project.
Oh,
in fact, maybe it is
it.
Because it's Brian Eno. Maybe Brian Eno, in fact, has done that himself. But because the dedication to go, I'm just going to keep looking at Brian Eno videos and just put the same comment on every one. Quite majestic about
it. I quite like it because there's dedication there, and repetition is key in comedy, apparently, isn't it?
Yes.
In the same way that I just can't believe that they got Rob Brydon to promote P&O Ferries. They should have got Brian Ferry. This would have worked, and it would have been the gift that kept on giving, wouldn't it? Brian's Ferries. Or maybe he's just going to set up a rival company. Just at the moment when most ferry companies go, I'm going to jack this in because nobody wants a ferry. They just use the tunnel. But Brian's like, no, I'll invest. I'm going to buy a couple of massive diesel ships and have like cabaret on there, you know, suave
some
cabaret.
Kind of very suave cabaret.
Brian's Ferries.
No other sort.
It just sounds like a cheap cab firm, doesn't it? You know?
Hi, I'm Brian Ferry. Trust me to ferry you home.
Now the party's over.
He's even done his own theme tune.
Of course he does. He's got his own jingle. I see you standing there. You're a trucker.
Did we talk about this on the podcast, or was it just some shit we were?
I think it's something
we.
I think it was a late night WhatsApp.
That I had an idea for a video for that song where it starts with him just emerging from a 7 series that's like an 80s one that's fully buried into a ditch. And he's wearing a white dinner suit, but with one sleeve missing for reasons that never explain. And
it's
covered in all
off.
Manner of stuff, like blood and things. And,
and
none of this is explained.
Yeah.
And he's still being suave to the camera, but unfortunately his suaveness is undermined by clearly some shit has gone down
crash.
This evening. Yeah.
Has he got a microphone with a cable that disappears off camera and you don't know where it
came from? Snagging on stuff.
On like hedges, a bit of gorse.
Or the further away from the crashed car he gets, the more that the cable is actually dragging other items along with him, like underwear and stuff.
Oh, and an under tray. There'll be a random under tray halfway along the road where it had its first clip before the big impact.
When we went away the other week up to Suffolk, I went for a little run up the lane where we were staying, and there was a huge under tray. I wanted to stop and have a good poke at it to see if it had got a logo on it so I could find out what car it was from, but it was out there full because the lane wasn't tarmacked. It was a bit rutted and lumpy, and it was an under tray losing lane. If you were in a normal car, you'd get some scrapage.
Yeah.
And somebody had clearly had the ultimate scrapage, under tray off and dumped at the side of the road.
It's always a sign of flash flooding. There's always an abundance of under trays. I've noticed that.
Why do they never mention it on the weather? They go, a heavy rain in the West Country has led to flash flooding. So please do be careful of your under trays.
Or just, there's flash flooding and also several reports of rogue under trays littered across
the road. It's a special under tray symbol on the weather map. There's and a whole front of under trays moving up here from Cornwall towards Bristol.
Hang on, why? That's our calling for Spring Watch, you and I.
Oh, what, just reaching around the countryside looking for under trays?
The seasonal changes, because, hot weather usually means tyre treads are missing on the motorways, huge pieces of tyre tread, usually lorries. and aside from bottles of piss, there's usually rogue trainers and also bits of bicycle and roof box. But, we could go around finding rogue under trays. I think that would be... Although rogue under trays definitely sounds like a support band. I know we say this every time.
Yes. Tonight in session, Rogue Undertrays.
They're supporting Sleaford Mods, aren't they?
From Epsom. Since you've mentioned tyres, that's something else I wanted to talk to you about. Is that video you sent me of those tyres that your brothers bought?
Well, yeah. My brother, I've said it before, we share a passion in that we share interest in cars and we share careers in the car world, but we're very different people, and he works on beautiful pre-war stuff mostly, and he's a massive perfectionist, although you wouldn't know it looking at his daily driver. And his daily driver is a Mark IV Golf diesel that he bought off a friend actually years ago as a spares or repair car, and decided immediately it wasn't spares, it was repair. And yeah, he's been nursing it for years. It was his first modern Golf. He had Mark IIs years ago, skipped the Mark III, went to Passat. But yeah, he went to the scrapyard the other week, and he buys various bits from scrapyards for his other Golf, his wife's Golf. And he bought some tyres, yeah, from the scrapyard. He sometimes buys tyres from the scrapyard. They're good, but...
they're good, but they're also... They're not as good as, say, new tyres.
It's funny.
I feel like tyres are one of those things that it makes me a bit squeamish thinking about second-hand tyres. I'm sure they're fine, but tyres for normal cars aren't idiotically expensive, are they? How much is he paying?
I don't know how much he's paying. And I also know that he's... He doesn't like big rims on cars. He always goes with OEM wheels, can't stand aftermarket alloys. He's always ribbed me about liking me modifying cars and things. But, they're only 15s. I think he's only running 15s or 16s. But, he's a good lad, my brother. And his cars are always just, kept okay. You know, there's always they're okay. But needless to say, yeah, he... doesn't like spending a great deal of money on a daily hack.
You don't
but
say.
Because he's a mechanic and he's very much the mend and make do, he likes to dismantle things and work out the problem. And yeah. And he still loves a good scrapyard, to the point where the scrapyard he went to last week, which is fairly local to me, maybe 15 miles away, he found, of all things in a scrapyard, a Mark II Granada estate. And I'm like, what on earth is that doing in a scrapyard? Because that is like the favourite, that is the pinnacle of banger racing car. That is the best of the best. How come it's not been immediately put around the short oval track? Well, it's because it looks like a tree's fallen on it. The roof is completely V-shaped, like in the middle.
Right.
So either a lorry has fallen on it, or a tree has fallen on it, or, I don't know, bulldozers accidentally nudged it. But yeah, it's like in 2020, I did not expect to see a Mark II Granada in a scrapyard. But
yeah, think it would have been picked clean at the least. But
yeah, totally.
Is your brother older or younger than you?
2 years older.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. He's a good lad, Greg. He's very talented.
I know, and that's the thing. Like professionally, he's got a real craftsman's touch, hasn't he? But personally, I would not get in a car with him at this time of year because he buys tyres from a scrapyard and they don't fucking match or come from any companies that you've heard of. But, you know.
No, I do love the names.
If I had a pre-war Bentley that needed restoring, I would be straight over to his place.
He's built cars for Pebble Beach, you know, and that's the irony of all of this. But sometimes his own sort of daily little hack is at the other end of the automotive spectrum.
It's always the way, though, isn't it?
It is always the way.
It's the plumber's bathroom syndrome.
It's absolutely the plumber's bathroom situation.
Never have a poo at a plumber's house.
Because he's a precision engineer, and that was always his background training. When he did his apprenticeship and stuff. He's always been the guy who says, Johnny, you can polish cars all you like. I don't care about shiny paint. I care about what's going on underneath. And he was always the one that said, my car will always look like shit, but it will always have good, tight steering, safe suspension. You know, it will work. And I can get in it and drive it flat out to Scotland whenever you want. And he's always maintained that. He hates polished, clean, bling cars, as he calls them. But he loves a car that's been mechanically gone through. And anyway, while I'm saying this, I can't stop thinking about you and your Robert Plant and Axl Rose engine analogies. I've got one for you.
Go on.
Florence and the Machine.
Yeah.
She's an S2000. She's a Honda S2000. Do you not think? Or not?
Interesting. Yes, maybe.
Or is that not? Or
I don't know. I think she goes a bit mad at the top end.
Oh, like, she does.
She's
get
a bit
mad.
Screechy at the top end.
What is she? What is the machine with Florence?
It's a pretty
machine?
Wide rev range on her voice, but yeah, gets a bit screechy and not necessarily that pleasant. I wonder whether with her, it's the gearbox that's making all the noise.
Oh, hang on, is she straight cut gears?
Straight cut
in
gears.
Mini,
I think she. Was she an A series?
She's an A series, like a racy A series,
a racy
where the gearbox is louder than the engine.
Yeah, and it all combines together into quite a sort of high, furious noise at extreme revs. And some people find it pleasant to listen to, and some people not so much. So you know, it's maybe an acquired taste, but
we all have a hunger. We all have a hunger. She's sequential, isn't she? She's just banging the stick back again. We're just rising and rising and rising. That transmission squeal that you get from race cars.
Well, you see, I think if you listen to a song like Emotions by Mariah Carey, I'd say that Carey is a double clutch because she can shift up.
She's a PDK?
Yeah, I'd say so. Because you listen to something like that, she can properly do a scale without any gap between. I mean, that's your double clutch voice, surely. Whereas, I'm trying to think, who... I don't know. Like John Bon Jovi, I feel like old-fashioned manual because he has to take a little pause before he kicks it up a notch.
Awkward, that BMW M3 CSL box.
Yeah, it could just be a manual. I mean, I sort of feel like Morten Harkett, very smooth, like I don't know. I mean, he could almost be like a racing V12 out of one of Tom Walkinshaw's XJSs.
Yes.
But it's still a manual box on it, so...
Yes.
Give all your love to clutch in, clutch out again. Me! You know,
okay,
it's
so
like,
there's a bit of a
there has to be a change. He can't just shift up seamlessly.
So Sia, what is Sia? Is she? She's a CVT.
Yeah, all over the shop.
Because Sia's got that lovely sort of gravelly thing, but then she can throw it super high. So it's like, you know, like it's a thingy, an Uber. It's an Uber Prius with the CVT, which is just, no one cares about the gearbox. They're just mashing the throttle pedal and just seeing what happens without any regard. And it can flutter. It can go from idle, from stop start to just foot flat down, 6.5 thou, still with the catalytic converter stone cold. It's all over the shop. Listeners, match a good vocalist to an engine.
Yeah, to their engine.
Vehicle.
based on their range and the camminess of their voice.
I do enjoy that.
Oh, hey, are you watching the new series of The Crown?
I haven't. I've been watching other things.
The Crine, as I think you probably should call it, because they're all extreme people.
Received pronunciation. The Crine.
The Crine. Are you watching The Crine?
Ears.
I think we've said before, you can tell when someone is incredibly posh, because when they say yes, they actually say ears.
I haven't got round to The Crown yet
at all. Have you not watched it?
No, I'm sort of saving myself.
It is. It's very well made.
It's got Gillian Anderson in it, hasn't it?
Yeah, this is what everyone's talking about. In fact, funnily enough, a friend of ours, I was talking to the other day, and he hadn't watched any of The Crown, and he decided to give it a try. But he thought, "Oh, screw it! I'll just leap in with the fourth series, which was just released last week." But some snafu on whatever box he's using to watch Netflix, and it started with series one. But he didn't realise, and series one is like in the 30s, is it? I forget now.
Yeah. Yes,
and he was thinking, bloody hell, they're going to have to get a clip on to bring this up to the 80s. And he was completely baffled at the pace of it. And apparently he messaged his niece, who's in her 20s, and went, how are they going to get to Margaret Thatcher? And she went, I think you're watching series one, uncle. but yes, Gillian Anderson is playing Margaret Thatcher, which is, I think, the MASH had a good headline about Margaret Thatcher, played by Gillian Anderson, is the ultimate left-wing challenge wank. But
isn't it just her performance is a bit odd.
I think it's like she's got the tone of Margaret Thatcher's voice right, but sometimes she sounds a bit like she's doing. Do you remember Peter Serafinowicz used to do a character called Brian Butterfield?
The
Brian Butterfield, yes. Diet plan. Pork cylinders, fluffy rice, and all that. And she sounds like she's doing like a female Butterfield. It's, I am your prime monster. And you're like, what? Why are you saying words weird? It's good. Right. It's very good. We're only three episodes in. The reason I bring it up, and I was hoping that you'd watched it, is that it's now in the 80s. And so we're getting into an era of very relatable cars for people of our age.
For people off of our age, yeah.
And it's good, but it's not quite bang on.
Oh, is it a bit like Ashes to Ashes with the quattro being on the wrong number plate?
Yeah.
That really still really annoys me.
Actually, that's one of the continuity errors that I, not continuity, but sort of accuracy errors that I spotted was there's a scene where there's no spoilers in this, I think. I think everybody knows that Princess Diana married Prince Charles. That's not
what,
a spoiler
chin spoilers. There's a couple of
on a cavalier. She's walking down the street. There's a scene where she starts getting papped because she's sort of been, you know, discovered as Prince Charles's new girlfriend or whatever. And there's an Audi 80. They've dressed the street with lots of early 80s cars, and you go, oh, that's nice to see, isn't it? Well done. They've put some work in there. Not one of those ones where they're sort of, they've put, like, you know, period dramas, they put two Morris Oxfords in the back of shot, but then you can see like a fucking Prius driving by in the far background, and you just go, oh, you couldn't close the street, could you? They've dressed a whole street with probably like sort of a dozen 80s cars, but as she walks past this Audi 80, they then show the back of it, and it's an X-Reg, and you go, hang on a minute, this is supposed to be 1980. That car's like
81.
That's actually a bit fucking sloppy, The Crown. Come on, you wouldn't go and put someone in like a global hypercolor t-shirt and then go, oh, sorry, were they not around in 1981? We can't remember. It's just, I always annoys me when they can't be bothered properly with cars, because they pay so much attention to the clothes and all the other details.
Well, also the budget's obviously there to make it work.
Yeah, the budget is insane on that show. It must be. There's a bit where Prince Charles gets off a plane, and I swear it was shot at Dunsfold where Top Gear's filmed. But it's just one shot of him getting off of an RAF passenger plane and into a limo and then driving off. And you go, no, if that was done at Dunsfold, well, no matter where it was done, it feels like that's just one shot, and they must have had to go down there and set up and get it done. And then later there were some other bits of people getting on and off planes, and I presume they mopped up all the shots in one go. But even so, that's a high budget programme when they can just go to one specialised location.
Yeah,
and get,
borrow a plane.
Borrow a plane and a load of cars and dress everyone in the right clothes and light it and have all the catering and the dressing rooms on wheels and all that stuff for one shot where, of a man getting off a plane and into a car. That's when you know there's a bit of money behind it. But yeah, there's another bit where there's which happens in 1979, and there's a Mark V Cortina. And because I'm such a tedious man, I had to look this up because it's a specific event that happened. So I looked up when the event happened, and then I looked up when the Mark V Cortina was launched. And basically, it's like the Cortina happened just after the event. So that was...
I'm looking forward to the Crown. I am going.
It's really good. I mean, it's very enjoyable. But yeah, as it gets into an era of cars that we know,
you'll start to go, oh.
I tell you what, conversely... There's a whole sequence where the royal family are up in Scotland at Balmoral, and they go off hunting and just, you know, attacking animals as they love to do. And
the crine.
Throughout the crine.
And, it is C-R-I-N-E.
I've written it in my notes because I wrote down things I wanted to talk to you about this week. And I've written the crine, C-R-I-N-E.
Yes.
Because that's
it's like a crime, crine. But it's not.
Should
it's a crine.
Crine? On Netflix.
Nutflix.
Nutflux. And actually, that's Kiwis. No, there's a sequence where they're all off in the wilds of Scotland, and they just travel everywhere in old series Land Rovers. And you sort of go, I bet that's accurate. Because a temptation, if you were just making it up, is to go, oh, well, they're royals. So when was it? It was the late 70s, early 80s. But oh, the Range Rover was around then. They'd all be in Range Rovers, wouldn't they? Because they're the royals and they're posh. But no. Old money. The Range Rover.
It is
even
old
then,
money.
The Range Rover would have been a bit too new, a bit too flash.
And you're like, do we need to? No, we don't need to. We'll be okay.
We'll be okay. These things are perfectly serviceable, aren't they?
So I'm without seeing The Crown. One thing I'm hoping is there's when Lady Di gave birth to William. Mm. And her and Charles and William left the hospital and went home for the first time in front of the press.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they went in a Mark II Ford Granada estate.
Oh.
But it was the stretch wheelbase one, the super rare one, which is the Minster. I think it was called the Minster. So the back door is longer.
Shall I?
And it's super, super rare because... The saloon was the more common one with the slightly longer back door, but you could get an estate coach built one, and that's what the royals had, which is stealth wealth beyond belief.
Yeah.
You're taking a working class estate car and you're stretching the back door by about 3 inches.
Well, now
hardly an.
We just watched episode 3, and Diana is preggers for the first time. So, well, now I'm going to look forward to this, and if they let me down, so help me God, I'm going to be writing a letter to the Crane. Now look here,
the Crane,
the Crane. Who do you people... Yes, it's here. I've got a picture. And you're right.
Okay.
It's got an incredibly long back door.
And not many people notice it. And there is... There are hardly any left in existence, but there is a guy with one in the UK. There's at least one left.
There is hope here. I'll let you know when I've watched Ep 4, but there is hope because there is one piece of... I mean, I was going to say car accuracy. They'd have really dropped the ball if they'd missed this one. In Series 3... There is a sequence with Princess Anne and a Reliant Scimitar.
Of course there is.
And
of course there is. Is that like
actually,
a drinking game?
Yeah.
As soon as you see
Princess Anne in a Scimitar.
And the Reliant, you have to down a stiff drink of whatever.
The ep that we watched last night, there was a bit where Princess Anne is a bit down in the dumps and she's talking to the Queen. And I was so hoping that they were going to have the Queen go... Would it help if I bought you another scimitar? But she doesn't, so it was all ruined. But
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're looking for stuff to watch, it is very good. And yeah, well, anyway, that's what I just want.
I've just finished The Queen's Gambit, I think.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
And we're not paid to talk about any of these shows.
I know, it sounds
guys.
Like we're plugging Netflix.
Yeah, but that was good because that had... That had some good cards in it. One of when she went to Russia for the chess championship and she got picked up in a Chaika. Is it a Chaika?
Yeah, I think so.
That was quite a cool car. But the
Corvair. Did you see the Corvair in it?
Oh, yes, there was a Corvair, which is also fantastic.
Do you want to know something mad about the crane, not the crane, sorry, the Queen's
the
Gambit.
Crane.
The Queen's Gambit. Do you know where the Queen's Gambit was largely filmed?
You're going to say the UK.
Close. Germany.
Was it?
Yeah, and this now kind of messed with my head a little bit. That, like, the, again, not these, well, these aren't spoilers, but the big school that she's at, Germany. Yes.
Is it?
All the stuff that's supposed to be Las Vegas, Germany. And I think they did it in Berlin. I think it's because they could get some, there's a whole variety of styles of architecture there, I guess. So like, even the bit, there's a Paris scene, Germany. And but what messed with my head was that the house that she lives in, that was in Canada. So that is sort of because they couldn't find an authentically North American looking house in Germany, I guess. But the big schools in Germany, and some of those sequences where that Corvair is driving along what to me looked like, sort of, I imagine the roads in Kentucky looked like, was done in Germany. And then I suddenly thought, hang on a minute, the Corvair pulls up outside the house and then later it pulls up outside the school and it's driving along those roads. So there must have been two identical Corvairs. And then I thought, actually, that's not that mind-boggling. I suppose they just found two identical Corvairs. And I said this to my wife and she just went, you work in television. Why are you amazed about this?
I was going to say, you know how this works. I'm really glad that you've said this because two nights ago when I watched the last episode, when it was driving down, the Corvair was driving down the street, I actually said to Chops, I turned to her and I said, that, I am convinced, is somewhere in Europe. It's not America. There's something about it. And I don't know why. I just had that innate feeling. You know when a human is being watched and you feel like you're being watched but you can't see who's watching it? I felt that. Now, before I forget, before we go down another, I'm going to mention, you were talking about The Crown.
Yeah.
Gillian Anderson being one of the actors in it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen The Crown, but what I have seen is Sex Education. And I was a bit late to it, but I saved myself for it.
Yeah.
And she's obviously one of the main characters in it, driving a Mercedes 123. And I realised it's a 200T model, which was the same model as the one I had. And that for cars, if you're into cars, and also fantastically shot and street scenes. It's just really interesting mashup of fashion and vehicles. You've got Maestros in it, Mark III Escorts.
Is it British? Golfs. Then
it is. This is the thing. There's no reference, as far as I can remember, on Sex Education where it is set. Mm. But all of the people in it, or most of the people in it, are British.
Right.
But the school and the fashions are sort of American 80s.
Mm.
But yet there's mobile phones in it and texting and stuff.
Right.
And yet, and it turns out, I think it was filmed in its entirety in a valley in Wales.
Right.
So there's a really mad mashup. But I have to say, it's a really good show anyway. And I'm sure you've all seen it because it's actually been out a while now. It's just me that was late to it.
No, I haven't seen it. And then, funnily enough, someone else, a mutual friend of ours, recommended it to me just this week. So,
well, yeah. You will love it because of the cars, but also Gillian Anderson in it, and she's gorgeous. And I haven't got a thing for her, honestly. But she's driving a W123 as well.
Is she doing an English accent in this?
She is doing an English accent.
I mean, it's weird because she actually does have an English accent in real life, and we had her as a guest on Top Gear years ago, and she showed up.
She
just talked in sort of pretty sort of well-spoken English accent, and we were all completely thrown off and thought she was putting it on or something. But you forget, she is sort of English, isn't she?
And she is English.
When she was doing Scully, she was doing the American accent
very much, and I think everyone presumes she was American as a result. Mm. I still, ever since Scully and the X-Files, she's just brilliant. She's one of my favourites.
Loads of the people in the Queen's Gambit are British as well.
Yeah, there are a few, actually. Yes, the guy from About a Boy.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. But then the other chess guy, the other one who comes to see her, a sort of nerdy bloke, he's British. The lead, she's kind of British. Like, I think her dad's British and she lived all over the world. And there's another one as well.
When are we going to get asked to appear in a film? Because I think we should.
Well,
we've got friends who are film directors. We should just muscle in and go, can we be extras? I don't want to be like Mr. Wint and Mr. Kidd from that 70s James Bond that I've forgotten the name of.
Oh, yeah. I always get Bond wrong for some reason, so I can't remember which. I know which one you mean. It's funny,
Mr.
actually.
Mr. Wint and Mr. Kidd were very creepy.
A mate of mine who I might have introduced you to, he was doing a film and he did say, you can come and be an extra. There's a cafe scene that we're doing this week. If you want to come and be an extra, you can, but quite honestly, you'll just be sitting around for ages and I wouldn't bother. And I kind of went, yeah, you're right, I won't bother, which I thought was, in a way, was a bit ungrateful, but he did sort of give me the out. And I think anyone who's ever been around filming knows that it does take fucking ages.
Oh, it does when it's a quality production, especially. You've been involved in some of those. I have.
Yeah, I've been involved in some dog shit as well. that's what I was going to say about the ultimate self-own of my self-imposed military spec haircut is I thought, oh, it's fine, I'll just lop the lot off and it'll be okay, and you know, because I'm not doing anything, I'm not going anywhere at the moment, I mean, we're technically under lockdown. And then I suddenly remembered, in a couple of weeks I think I'm doing something on camera, so
you absolutely
like
flipped.
A proper TV show, so I really knackered myself.
You're gonna
there
have to wear your Magnus Walker 9/11 hat.
Yeah, I did honestly think, I was like, would I look like a total tool if I wore a hat on camera? And then I thought, yeah, it's a hard one to pull off because I'm not a hat person, really.
Well, Jason Plato famously did it on, I think it was one episode of, or maybe two episodes of Fifth Gear before I started. He wore a pork pie hat, I think it was.
What?
And certain people rib him about it to this day. I think he was just going through an experimental phase and he just turned up one day with this hat on and looked like a character out of an old film. It's very strange. And then he's hanging the backside out of an AMG all day, but driving.
But wearing a pork pie,
wearing a strange hat. Yeah, I know. Sadly, it's very odd.
That's the thing. I sorry to bring up my hair again, but we went out for a walk, and it was partway through me mauling my own hair, and I had to wear a baseball cap, which I do own because I've got one just for walking the dog and stuff. But we went out. I don't often wear it sort of out in the daytime. And my wife went, are you wearing that hat because you fucked up your hair? And I'm like, yeah, I did. So, and then when we got home, I started looking up. I thought, maybe I need a flat cap. I don't own a flat cap. Maybe I need a flat cap. So I'm screwing my own hair over, I might become a hat person for a bit.
I'm doing more hats. But
you're
that's
quite
just
hatty
because...
already, though, aren't you? I always, you can rock a hat and get away with it.
I like it. I've always been a cap person, even when I had lots of hair. I'm a cap person still at heart, rightly or wrongly. But I'm going down the sort of flat cap or the sort of military cap route. I might actually ask Father Christmas for an interesting hat.
That's a good idea.
When I say one interesting, of those I don't of... mean like a... I don't want to look like a dick.
It's a hard one, isn't it? Because I bought ages ago, I just needed a dog walking hat. And before I bought a bog standard baseball cap, I bought one of those sort of slightly military style hats it's a cap, and it's your classic middle-aged dad cap. It's a green canvasy kind of, you'd know the sort if you saw it.
And I think it's a military style.
Colonel
Gaddafi spec.
A bit Colonel Gaddafi, yeah, or a little bit Fidel Castro, perhaps. But
Castro cap, yes, yes.
You see a lot of dads wearing them, but you have to be sort of over 40, and it's I don't know. There's something. I put it on, and my wife just went,
and
no.
That's bad when the wife does that because you're immediately squashed down to a very small height.
Yes.
You can't come back from that. It's very hard to come back from that. But I know exactly what you mean. I know the hat. I know the style. I'm feeling it. In the same way, I've actually got some very good quality manufacturers or automotive-related hats, but I just don't know whether I should tread near those. I've got a mint Porsche cap. Mint.
Have you?
Yeah, but of course I don't own a Porsche, so I'm in that Joey from Friends.
Yeah, but they see, because funny enough, did you see, was it last week that Porsche announced they've got this collab, as people say now, with Nike, and they've come up with a range of trainers, and each style is supposed to be inspired by a different generation of 911 Turbo.
I've not seen it. Where was I?
Check them out. I can't remember if they've fully revealed them or they've sort of... Yeah, they must have done because I've seen them. in
are they as good
Insta.
As the, when Knight did the DeLorean trainer? I mean,
no, they're gosh, not that.
The internet got broken when that happened.
Did I tell you about? Have I mentioned this before that we blagged a pair on Top Gear to talk about?
Oh.
On the news, and when one of the researchers rang up and went, could we just borrow a pair to show on the program and talk about during the news segment? And they went, yeah, we'll send some over. And we were thinking, oh, hello. And there's going to be a proper fight in the office if they say, oh, you can hang on to them. But it'll depend what size they are.
That's right.
People are different sizes. They turned up, they were like size 13 or something, so they were of no use to anyone.
Oh, we did talk about, of course, we did talk about this, because I said, well, I am like a 12 and a half. So 13 would have been bang on for me.
Yeah. I think they wanted them back anyway, as well. They were, weren't they the ones where like people were buying them and then flipping them for sort of, you know, $1,000 or something? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, completely. Completely.
Anyway, some of the Porsche Turbo inspired trainers I think are actually quite nice, but unfortunately they say Porsche on them, and so I just can't
you've got one
no, but I couldn't decide if that makes it better or worse, and I think it makes it even worse than not having a Porsche, but no, can't do it.
Shall I do it then?
You could do it if you want. I mean,
I'll do it.
Bear in mind, I'm a silly prick who bought a pair of Adidas/Adidas trainers that were a collab with the Japanese design house Porter, and I bought them purely because they had Porter written on them. And then I went, oh no, now I've got a pair of trainers that have my own name on them. It looks like I had them made or something, and I look like a prick. So
you could be
they're quite nice trainers, actually. They've got orange on them, which I really like. But
you could start your own YouTube channel. You're going down
yeah,
the road.
Yeah, I'd sort of, yes, yeah. I'll start wearing hats and trainers with my own name on them. And before you know it, I'm screaming hi, guys, into my own phone like a bell. Anyway.
I thought we had made an agreement that we were going to answer some letters.
Oh,
well, some questions from the viewers.
I'm going to be honest
listeners.
With you. It's a bit late now because this is the point at which we should probably wrap things up.
No, that's a lie.
Which usually cues
don't
another
have to
10 minutes of talk.
This is our 10-minute warning. That's what
look,
that is.
You can have lessons. You can have three emails from listeners.
Okay.
Because,
I'd like that. I'd like it.
That's all I've got. All right, hang on. Well, let's go. See, there's going to be... Oh, okay. Well, I've had one here from Craig Matheson. I hope that's how it's pronounced, Craig. First line is compliments. Can't read those out because I'm not Steve Wright. He says, how about people who drive cars that have a speed-dependent retractable rear spoiler but choose to leave it out all the time? Tesla Model X seems to be the worst offender right now, but also Merc GT.
I'll tell you what that is for me.
What?
It's taking, if you're a male, it's like taking a little blue pill and wearing some quite tight tracky bottoms. Yeah. That's what that is.
The funny thing is, the Tesla Model X, the early Model X's, the spoiler was a retractable one, and now it isn't. I had some problem with the mechanism not working properly, and in sort of true sort of Tesla, slightly freewheeling, random style, rather than go back to the lab and redevelop it to work properly, they just went, screw it, we'll make the spoiler fixed. So all those Model X's, and it really annoys me as well, I'm glad that Craig's picked up on this, all those Model X's running around, apparently with their extendable spoilers always extended, that's because they won't go down, they're now fixed in place, which is just sloppy because it's got that well that it should be able to go into, so it just looks gash. But anyway, I do find that slightly irritating. Craig, and
I've done it with test cars just to see, but there is a level of blendery with I did it with an AMG GT, I think that was the last car, I probably left it out, as it were.
I left
the spoiler hanging out.
I've got another message here from Ian Payne. Hello, Ian, who says, hi Johnny, thanks.
Hi Ian.
Not taking that personally. Hi, Johnny. Loving the podcast and thought I could tell you about a Robert Plant car of the early 80s. My dad sold a 1958 Nash Metropolitan to Robert Plant in about 1983. He was it gets better. He was buying it as a wedding present for Phil Collins. I know. It's good, isn't it?
That's brilliant.
This is the kind of high quality email that we like. Thank you, Ian. He goes on to say, he turned up in a brown metallic Mercedes, brackets probably an S-Class. I don't remember how clean it was, but I guess the colour was quite a practical choice. We delivered it down to Monmouth, where he met us at a pub and bought us a drink. Nice man.
Hang
I was
on,
only 11
did he live
or 12
in
at the time.
Monmouth?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. This is great. This is
well, he might have been,
because
he might have been,
into.
If it was 1983, he might have been in Rockfield Studios, which is near Monmouth, because he recorded Big Log and stuff there, and I guess he probably did some other things. So.
Of course, he was, yeah, he was doing solo work by then, wasn't he?
So one of the things that boggles my mind about Robert Plant is that by the time the 80s came around, or in 1980, Led Zeppelin split up, didn't they? It's like he wasn't even 30, and he'd already done Led Zeppelin. He'd been in Led Zeppelin for the 70s, and that was it, done and over. And he wasn't even 30, and he had, you know, to decide what to do next. But it's pretty
and
incredible.
And also alive.
And alive, yeah.
Also alive, Brit. That's really cool.
I think he'd cleaned up by then as well, hadn't he? I think he was pretty... I mean, he likes a drink, but I think he was sort of relatively clean living by the time
he was relatively... Like The Who, Daltrey is probably the cleanest member of The Who by quite a margin.
Yeah, yeah.
And managed to escape the demons of drink and disco biscuits. And I think it's weird because I had one message about Robert Plant. Someone saying that they live in the same village as him, and they're now trying to eagerly check out the cleanliness of his motors. I really hope we can get through to Plant. I think that valeting with Plant is just could become, you know, way better than like extreme fishing with Robson Green. I mean, seriously.
All right, here's your third and final listener email for today. Smith/Sniff, it starts. It's from someone who, Steve, has written
guys.
To say hi, Steve. Hi, guys. He says, on the recent podcast, I was heartened to hear Johnny recount his tale of spending time in the back of an Impreza STI taxi thrumming through the streets of Bristol. Nice use of the word thrumming there, Steve. Well,
ooh,
that's good. Good. Accurate. I spent my university years in Bristol and can joyfully corroborate his story. There was nothing better than ending a night out by giving the guy who owned the Impreza a call or text and hearing that unmistakable boxer engine approaching the door of your favoured takeaway palace. He could certainly drive the wheels off the car, often threading it through narrow streets with cars parked either side and with not much room to spare at speeds unobtainable by the more usual Vauxhall Zafira diesel. Best thing was,
that's
if your group
brilliant.
Had more than four people to get home, his brother/cousin/friend would roll up in a Milano red Honda Accord Type R.
Oh, wow. I wasn't imagining this.
You weren't imagining
this.
It, and it gets better. And they would then proceed to take separate routes to your house and, in inverted commas, see who could get there first.
Yes!
Who knows how they got away with it, and I certainly don't think they had a Hackney carriage licence, but for a car nerd, there was nothing better. Kind regards, Steve. Thank you, Steve. That is fabulous.
Steve, you've made it.
Extra
made
information
it
to one of Johnny's faint memories. That's fabulous.
I love that because it means that I wasn't lying.
You weren't lying or even hallucinating. Yeah,
no.
That's great. Well, we
who
really
were
should.
Those guys?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, Steve's information is tremendous, but if anyone else has supplementary information on that or indeed anything else, then please drop us a line, smithandsniff@gmail.com. We do like hearing from you. And thank you to everyone else who's written in. We'll go through some more emails at some point, and we do read them all. That's all I've got to say, really, except thank you for listening. I have three things to share with you. One, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel called The Late Break Show with lots of excellent video treats on there, including an electric MG and a brilliant chat with Chris Harris in two parts, which you should definitely check out. Number two, I've still got a book out. It's called The Boring Book of... No, it's not. It's called The Medium-Sized Book of Boring Car Trivia by Sniff Petrol. It's available exclusively on Amazon, and volume two will be out in a couple of weeks. And the third thing I have to tell you is that in the sitcom Frasier, the actor who played his dad actually grew up in Manchester, which is ironic, as Jane Leaves, who played Daphne in the show and affected a northern accent for the programme, was actually from Sussex.
Really?
Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's a great piece of trivia, that is. I couldn't compete with that. I was going to say... The guy that played the fretless bass in Paul Young's Wherever I Leave My Hat as My Home is actually a Welshman with the least Welsh name I think I've ever heard in my life. And his name is, a Welshman, Pino Palladino.
Pino Palladino.
His name is Pino Palladino, and it's apparently it was an ace session bassist, and he did all of the fretless bass work in Paul Young's Wherever I Leave My Hat.
Well, there's lovely, isn't it?
Tidy.
Sponkin. And on that possibly racist note, let's finish. So thank you for listening. We'll see you again next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye. What does Pino Palladino drive?